All right, we continue our study of Ephesians. Our text today is chapter 4, verse 2. We'll be looking at the theme of patience. Let me read the first three verses to keep it all in a bit of a context. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. According to an old traditional Hebrew story that was passed down over the years, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening and he saw an old man coming down the road. He was weary with age and with the length of his journey. And Abraham rushed out to greet him, invited him into his tent. He washed the old man's feet, gave him food and drink. And then the old man immediately began to eat without offering a prayer of thanks to God. So Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" And the old man replied, "I worship fire only and reverence no other God." At this, Abraham was absolutely incensed, grabbed the man by his shoulders and threw him out of his tent. And after the old guy left, God spoke to Abraham and said, "Where's that stranger that was in your tent?" Abraham said, I forced him out because he didn't believe in you." God answered, "I suffered him these 80 years, even though he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night?" Pretty good story from the old traditional Hebrew. And we see ourselves in that, don't we? That God's patience far outweighs ours. Patience and endurance in a bad situation, long suffering, are all the characteristics that refer to God, don't they? Not so much, quite so much to us anyway. But for us, our natural bent is away from those things. Our natural bent is toward impatience and lack of endurance, lack of tolerance. Our fleshly response toward those who irritate us is to be demanding and to punish those who bug us in one way or another. The ESV, I'm going to read the whole text again in that version. It catches the spirit of it really well. "I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, all of verse 2 and 3, it's all one sentence according to what Paul wrote. So all of these things hang together in a sense. They're not these separate ideas that he's just peppering the page with. And there's some duplication there too. Humility and gentleness are very similar to one another, aren't they? And patience and bearing with one another are almost synonymous. So Paul's point is that union with Christ, we are already patient, or at least we're regarded as patient by God Himself through the work of Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit to work these virtues in us so that the call now comes to us from the Spirit of God who accomplished the application of Christ's redemption to us. But the call comes now, be what you are. Your patience issue has been solved by Christ. Now go out and practice it, is the idea. Patience is another way that we get to demonstrate who we are in Christ. Well, where does your struggle lie with the whole issue of patience? What's the issue for you? And it's important for us to do that. It's important for us to recognize where the struggle with patience in our own particular lives is, because apart from that, we'll never sufficiently address it. If you think about the patient's struggle with the other guy, but not about your own, you're not going to address it properly. So think seriously about times that you're impatient. What sets it off? What life situations really get to you? Do you feel that when there's more to do than you have time allotted for it, do you get impatient at that? Or people in front of you are slower than you want them to be. You get impatient with that. Or the reverse. When people behind you seem to be pushing you, do you get impatient with that? Or it's mostly when you just don't feel well. Do you struggle with patience then? Or he or she did it again. You know, do you get impatient with that? Or you can't seem to do it right, or at least well enough for blank. Fill in the blank there for so-and-so. You can never accomplish it. What people annoy and frustrate you, and why? What is it that they do? We all have natural affinity toward one person or another, or one kind of person than another. We get along better with some than others. I mean, that's certainly true. But how do you deal with people that bug you? Do you fly off in impatience? I think it was one of those dating service things that advertises on TV, maybe eHarmony or one of the others. But the scene was there, it's this guy and this real bubbly, you know, kind of girl. They're sitting at this table, and he looks, I don't know, like, what did I get myself into? And she's bubbling all over the place. And then she has her cell phone in her hand. He said, and I can call you anytime I want because I got you right here on my phone. And it could actually serve as one of those want-to-get-away commercials. It was like, let me out. But you could see the panic on the guy's face. There was no patience with the way she was. How does your patience hold up in a situation like that? What machines or inanimate objects frustrate you? What have you cursed or kicked or pounded or thrown recently on stuff that doesn't work right? Friday, a week ago, I was up at our cabin trying to wrap up a couple of projects that we'd started a few weeks before that on vacation. And I was putting some just plain old 1x3s as trim around an old door frame that had been there for years and never been trimmed. And instead of using a ladder, and maybe I set myself up for the troubles that came, I was standing on the arms of a love seat instead of a ladder. Whatever. And there was a glass transom above this old door. And the trim I was trying to put in was a little bit tight, so I'm tapping it with a hammer. Well, I was hitting it with a hammer to get it in, and I missed. A hammer went right through that glass transom. Now, that happened after trying to get up on the love seat. I bashed my head into the top of the door frame and jammed my neck, so I'm kind of like this. And after I had slipped off the one arm of the love seat, quick reached out for the other and kind of wrenched my back, so my back's hurting, my neck's hurting, and I broke the window. Now, my response, I was trying to be good. Okay, I was trying to be good. All I did was, one of those. And then I said this pitiful, depressive sort of statement, I'm just trying to make things better. Well, what about your responses when something like that happens? Now, had I taken the hammer and smashed out all the rest of the glass in anger and fury, what does that say? That says I'm willing to punish anything that gets in my way and doesn't function the way I want it to. My wrath, to me, is justified because this thing, whatever it is, got in my way, was an inconvenience or created more work or whatever else, so I can act out. And I will justify that in my mind, at least for a period of time. But on the other hand, if you do the whiny, depressive thing like I did the other week, the pouting, the poor me, I'm just trying to make it better. What does that say? That says, I'm not getting all I deserve. I'm being ripped off by this thing. So whether it's acting out in anger and violence or pouting and whining, they both have a very similar content. They both say, I am God of my little kingdom, and this person or thing has not obeyed my dictate, therefore I'll react against it, or I will withdraw from it. Now, do you see the idolatrous base of that way of behaving and thinking? We're reacting against the providence of God negatively, often condemning God in the process. Now, not in so many words necessarily, but the reaction itself is a condemnation of God. Whoever's running this show doesn't know what he's doing, is what's going through our mind. Now, we as decent Christians generally don't want to let a real nice blue streak go flying, so we tend to control our terminology and vocabulary a bit, and we've developed, not just Christians necessarily, but we've developed a sterilized vocabulary of substitutionary sorts of terms that we throw in difficult situations. When you get home, get on your computer and go to dictionary.com and search for the meaning of doggone it. We use it all the time. What's it mean? Whether we're using those kinds of substitutionary words or whether we're using plain language, we're still condemning the providence of God, aren't we? When we do that, we're in sin, plain and simple. It's not open for us to do. Those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ and are indwelt by the Spirit, we need to turn from that idea that we can curse or condemn, whether in nice words or not nice words, whatever tends to happen. We're not open to do that. We need to accept what occurs with patience. By the way, do you know the definition of heck? It's eternal separation from gosh. Sorry. Now, we need to take this whole thing very seriously because it's something that attacks us every day. It touches our lives moment by moment. To react in that way with impatience and no willingness to endure is to give a picture to those around us that we actually belong to the one who always condemns the providence of the good God, the evil one. We're not giving a picture of Christ when we're ranting and raving and that sort of thing. Now, usually we don't want to be the God of the universe. If you're thinking that, those people are usually locked up somewhere. That's not what we're thinking. But just let me be God of my schedule. Let me be God of this room, of this little patch of real estate, of this desktop, or of the computer, or whatever else we may come up with. All of these are powerfully idolatrous. It's a total focus on ourselves. It's not humble, it's not gentle, it's not patient, and it's not being who we are in Christ. And it feeds on itself too, doesn't it? Impatience feeds more impatience. You ever had one of those days when you've been losing it, and as the day goes on, there's less and less that you're willing to tolerate, and pretty soon you're fussing and fuming at everything. Same with anger. Anger breeds more anger. Intolerance, more intolerance. Kids, let me talk to you. I wonder what kinds of things or what people have you been angry at recently? Is the person that you made you most angry recently sitting in the same pew with you right now? I wonder. Maybe. Or maybe it was a kid down the street. Or maybe something else. But we do get angry. And we get angry at people, don't we? And sometimes we get really angry at people. I saw this kid at the place where we go swimming sometimes when we're at our cabin. He was probably 7 or 8 years old. And other than this, he seemed perfectly normal. I don't know if there was something wrong with him or not. But anything that didn't work out the way he wanted, his first response was to scream, I mean like really shriek at the top of his voice and go like that, screaming. I mean, you could hear him all over the place. I was like, man, what's with that kid? And then if one of his family was close to him and they did something he wanted, not only would he scream, but he'd be flailing about trying to hit him. And he punched his brother a bunch of times. And every time something would happen, his dad would say, okay, now we're going home. Well, they were still there when I left. He kept threatening and threatening and threatening. Never did anything. Never tried to talk to the boy about his impatience and the way he responded to things. Now, it's important for us, if we're going to learn patience at all, it's important for us to think a whole lot about how patient God is with us. Now, I'm going to talk some more about that, so I want you to kind of really stay plugged in if you can. Try and listen to how patient God is, and maybe that would be a benefit to you. All right, so keep listening. Well, we may have more sophistication in our acting out than that screaming kid at the swimming hole. But the heart attitude's the same, isn't it? Give me what I want and give it to me now is the basic heart attitude underlying all impatient acting out. Well, that brings us then to this idea of the patience of God. God is patient with us. He's expressed it down through all of human history again and again and again. Note that his patience, as Paul says, and we'll read the verse a little bit later, should lead us to repentance. Often, however, if we're not meditating on Christ and his word, God's patience leads us into indulgence. God didn't do anything last time I did this, so I'll just do it again. God is acting always, right on time, according to his plan, accomplishing everything he desires. And when we lose sight of those truths, we set ourselves up for great impatience. The whole Old Testament, I mean, among other things, but it is this certainly, is a study in the patience and long-suffering of God, isn't it? He endured more than we can possibly imagine from those that he chose, brought up out of the land of slavery, brought them into the promised land, and they did nothing but rebel and reject and rebel and reject, and God endured and endured and endured. Yes, there were times when he intervened with judgment, but most of the time, it's patience and endurance that we see happening. Enduring with a stiff-necked, rebellious, and idolatrous people. Now, this idea of patience and long-suffering is a common theme in the New Testament as well. In Romans 2, this is one I referred to. Or do you not show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? Or in chapter 9, verse 22, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, borne with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? 1 Timothy 1:16, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. God's patience ought to just amaze us every day, that he would redeem the likes of impatient us is indeed amazing. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to work to try to clean up our act in being patient, for instance, in order to attract God's attention and affection. No, that's got it all backwards. God loved us when we were unlovely. He called us to himself. He regenerated us. He justified us. He adopted us as his children. He united us to Christ, seated us with him in heavenly places, all while we were still impatient with him. On the basis of what God has done in declaring us righteous and making us new creatures, we then ought to live lives of gratitude, ought we not? A lifestyle that is demonstrated by a growing obedience to him. The beauty of justification is that God has declared us legally righteous before him, even though we remain sinful, because we can never totally clean up our act. We're a continual liability to him. Now, this process of being conformed to the likeness of Christ is lifelong. You're declared completely patient before God. Isn't that amazing? That God says you, in Christ, are legally patient. He gave you his patience, Jesus did. The patience he expressed and showed in every situation of life, he gives that to you to be your record before God. Now, Paul's point is, now go show that. Go live that. It's essentially the same message as last week and the week before. Be who you are in Christ. Be humble and gentle because that's who you are in Christ. Be completely patient and endure with others. Why? Because that's who you are in Christ. It is essential that you uncover, though, the underlying heart demands that drive your impatience. When you see these things for what they are, then confess that they are idolatries. They are idols in your heart. And that really is the heart of the struggle. We want everything in life to go our way. When it doesn't, we experience impatience with those who don't cooperate with our plan. We need to confess that and see that is what's functioning in our hearts. We want to rule our lives and everyone in them. Only God has the authority and the character to be able to do that. So when we try, we're trying to bump God from his throne. As we said before, it's just blatant idolatry. So confess it. Repent of it. Make it a matter of regular prayer that the Holy Spirit would eradicate this idolatry from your own heart and replace it with a calm, loving, humble patience. Patience like that of the Lord Jesus. Now, you need this humble patience in order to demonstrate to a watching world that you belong to Christ. When you discover the underlying idolatry, you need to flee immediately to the Savior. That's the only remedy you have for any of your sins, whether impatience or something other. He was patient for you. He understands your impatience because he lived here among us. And he presents his patience to the Father, as we said before, as your own righteous merit before God. Because we are to be in life and attitude that which is already the case in position. Therefore, go be who you are. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice in the great patience of God toward us, expressed to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the salvation and redemption that he has provided. And then let us pray to him that our patience would grow. And in so doing, that we would show our gratitude for that which Christ has accomplished. Let's come and meet him at this table. And doesn't this table even express patience? Because there's not a single one of us can come to this table on our own merit. How could we possibly commune with God on our own? We can't. So even the elements of this table express to us the patience of God accomplished for us in Christ.